wife and our two grandchildren were here during the week. Had a great time with them. My grandchildren, I don't know if you know this, but they're the best grandchildren in the world. Probably you knew that, at least that they're at least the second best next to yours, right? We all feel that way about our grandchildren. Luke is very different than me. One of the things that is unusual about Luke, he has many good traits. I could list those, but one troublesome trait is he can't keep weight on. He is so thin, and he first of all, he doesn't like to eat. That certainly he didn't get from me. He drinks milkshakes all the time. His parents always bring milkshakes, and he has to drink these energy, revitalizing, calorie-laden milkshakes just to keep a few ounces of extra weight on him, and yet he's still as thin as a rail. When he finishes his meals usually go like this. He takes the main course and he eats the middle of it and shreds it into pieces and spreads it around his plate. We had, along with whatever it was that he shredded that night, he had corn that he kind of, whether he took a bite or not, I'm not absolutely certain, but he spread them around. I leaned over to him and I pointed to one of the kernels of corn. And I said to him, "You know, Luke, when you eat like this, that little piece of corn is saying, 'I gave my life for nothing.'" That's right. I died for nothing. Well, that's a sad. Sometimes you can think about things like that, things that are not real. You can are not living. You can give them human sentiments. You could say, for a sunset. It exists, and the sunset thinks. It feels like it would be wasted if it was not enjoyed. And it wants you to be filled with beauty and peace. Music. I play this music. I'm playing to you so that you will feel emotion, that you will be moved to be romantic, or moved to be energized, or moved to be patriotic. In this Bible verse that we've been studying in Luke chapter 12, it calls Christians, verse 2, living sacrifices. If we were to anthropomorphize a sacrifice would say that it is not fulfilled unless it brings joy to the one to whom it has been sacrificed. When the Bible calls us a living sacrifice, it would be sad to be a living sacrifice if we didn't bring joy to God above, if He was not honored by the sacrifice. I want more than anything in my life, and I know you are exactly like me in this. We hope that God looks down upon our lives, and He is pleased, and He is honored, and He's filled with joy at what His children have given Him. Living sacrifices. You know, as we go into this verse a little bit deeper, we've already seen in verses 3 through 8 sort of a discussion about what it means to be a living sacrifice. It means service. And so last week we spoke about the idea of being servants and finding that area in which you can serve. And that the body is made up of people with many different gifts, and you have to find that gift that you have, whatever it is God has given you, and to use that in a way that will please God. And that in the living of your life and the use of that gift that you have, that He looks down upon you and He says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. I'm pleased with you. I'm honored by you in your life." And so I hope that that's what Paul is doing for you, for me, and for all of us as we read these passages. To want to fulfill fulfillment and joy and honor to our God to whom we have been sacrificed. We're going to move on in this passage as we look at the marks of a true Christian today and look at what it means to be a living sacrifice. I really think we need to connect this passage with what's gone on before. And so even though the passage seems full of lots of different small clauses, full of examples or exhortations of what we're to be like, to realize that it's connected with what goes on earlier. That it's being explained what it means to be a living sacrifice, what it would look like to be living a life as a living sacrifice. So he says in verse 9, "Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. And seek to show hospitality." In these verses alone, there are 13 separate clauses. All of them do not have a verb either. There are only 10 verbs for the 13 clauses. And this is going to sound like mumbo jumbo to some of you, but please listen. There's no finite verbs in the entire section. Every single one of the 10 verbs that appear is a participle. Oh, do you remember what a participle is? That's a long time ago, right? Participles have ing. It's like instead of to hope, it's hoping. Instead of run, it's running. Those ing words are often participles. And in our translation, that doesn't come through because in English, to make it sense, to make good sense to an English-speaking mind, it's different. But to the Greek mind, every verb is a participle. What they all hold in common, these participles, is that every participle talks about some continuing the action of the verb into the future. Continuing to do that. Not a once and done, but to continue it beyond that first occurrence. So first I want you to see in this what it means to be a living sacrifice. Means to continue to live out your faith daily. So that's the first point I hope will come up on the board. To continue to live out your faith daily. Now, if you look at them, just think of them for a minute. Love, let love be genuine. That's not one time. Not abhor, hate what is evil. On Thursday, but not on Friday. Hold fast to what is good, not most of the time, but all of the time. Love one another with brotherly affection. Sometimes, no. Once, no. But continue to do it. All of these participles are saying, continue to do all of these things as a characteristic, ongoing action in your life. And so that's hard, really. And in practice, it's easier to do one thing. It's easier to be a saint on Sunday than it is to be a saint on every day. But the encouragement of what it means to be a living, ongoing, there's another participle, living. A living sacrifice, a continuing sacrifice, is to every day apply these actions, rejoicing in hope. Continuing to be patient in tribulation. Continuing to be active and constant in prayer. Continuing to contribute to the needs of the saint, not just on occasion, but all the time. To seek to show hospitality, just not once every quarter or every once in a great while, but constantly looking at how you can be hospitable to others. And I think when I was reading about what commentators really spend almost no time on this section. And the reason that they don't is that it just seems so clear on first reading. What's there to explain? On the other hand, every single clause would be a sermon in itself. And And so you take a cause about genuine love, or you take a cause about showing hospitality, or outdoing one another and showing honor. Any single one of those could be a sermon all by itself. So what do you do when you have, in just a few verses, 13 of those kinds of exhortations? Well, that which seems to connect them is the idea that they are all continuing. Second thing that kind of connects them, and this is not in the notes, is the idea of genuine love. The first clause has no verb. It just says, let love be genuine. And the let is supplied by translators to help it make sense and flow with the rest of the passage. And I think rightly said, many translators, many interpreters, commentators, they say, well, really, the entire theme of this entire chapter here on out is this idea of genuine love. If you understand what genuine love is, then as you see it working out in these different areas, it makes sense. And I think that that is at least somewhat true, that love is a huge subject that touches nearly everything that is in this passage. So how would you, in fact, let love be genuine if you were to take each one of them? Let me just give you an example. Let's say we took, as an example, outdo one another in showing honor. That's just one of these clauses. Outdo one another in showing honor. What would you do to do that? Well, to get real practical, and that's what this section is all about, if you're going to outdo one another in showing honor, then actually to honor people, what specifically would you plan? Let me give you some ideas. You could give them a compliment. You could genuinely see something that's worthy of praise, and you compliment them about that. Or, two, maybe you participate in their hobby. You know that they're active in doing something. They have an area of their life that is important to them, and you join in with them in doing that. You show them honor when you do that. Maybe you would plan a trip or outing with them. Maybe you would help them with a problem or a task. Somebody in the church perhaps has taken on a work in the church, and you really admire them, and so you say, listen, let me help you with that. Let me come alongside you and join you in that. That's a way of honoring them. Praying for a person is a way of honoring. Now, of course, it might never be noticed, of course, unless you say, I've been praying for you, which isn't a bad thing at all. I'm encouraged when somebody says they've been praying for me. But to pray for them is a way to honor them. Make them food. That's a way of honoring them. Give them a gift is a way of honoring them. Maybe they need some advice. Loving advice, not critical advice. Loving advice is a way of showing them honor. To give your ear to just listen. And in that listening, to show that you're not concerned about your thoughts, you're concerned about theirs. That you want to hear what they're thinking, what their opinion is. That is a way of honoring them. Because when we talk, we honor ourselves. And it's as if we say when we force our thoughts onto them, it's as if we're saying, well, okay, all right, are you done now? Because I want to tell you. I want to tell you what it's really all about. That dishonors a person. So listen is a way of honoring others. Or maybe you go and give them a break and you take their responsibilities for a day. That's a way to honor someone. If you really love them, then to be loyal to them. Be loyal is a way of honoring a person. All of these things are just practical ways to apply the idea of if you really love a person, then you can find actions that express it. And every situation may be different. But there are many different ways to show it to be a living sacrifice. Another example, it mentions show hospitality. Hospitality for a lot of us is you invite somebody over to have. And that certainly is a way, but there are other ways. I think praying with people can also be a hospitable thing to do. As you show them that you value them. Hospitality, if you're going to express it at church, you have to be ready to give yourself away to serve other people. That's hospitality. It means keeping your eye open. And you look around in every crowd, in every situation, and you think, a hospitable person, a loving person would think like this, who is it that needs me? Who is it that is alone right now? Who is it who needs encouragement? Because our natural tendency might be not to be hospitable, but to seek for others to be hospitable to us, to receive rather than to give. But hospitality at church means to keep your eyes open and to seek those opportunities to express kindness to those that are present. It means being ready to introduce yourselves to others. And I know that not everyone is an extrovert. And for some, it's more difficult than others. And you might say, hey, I've been at church with that person a long time, and I don't even know their name. Or maybe it's somebody visiting for a short time, and you've never had a chance to talk to them yet. You recognize. Or maybe it's the first time they've ever come. There's nothing wrong with going up to any of those people and just saying something, hello, I'm so-and-so, I'm Jeff. I don't think we've ever had a chance to meet. And to begin a conversation, that's hospitable. You can meet people in the foyer, and you have a conversation with them, and you walk them into the auditorium as they sit down. Maybe if it's a person who's alone and you realize is going to sit alone, and you say, why don't you come up and sit with me and my family? You know, my wife and I, we're going to sit up there. We'd love to have you come sit with us. That's an expression of hospitality. To say to a person, listen, we're going out to lunch after services. Would you like to come along? We'd love to get to talk with you some more. An expression of hospitality. Maybe it's an invitation to your home, a lunch together, a donut in the foyer. But in every case, hospitality can be an expression of love and concern for another person. Jesus said this, Matthew 25:42. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me. Naked and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison and you did not visit me. Then they shall answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? And then he will answer them, saying, truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Let's realize that every opportunity is an opportunity to honor the Lord God. And Amen. It's an opportunity to open up the possibility of dialogue and maybe salvation for someone who comes in our door for the first time. To be able to say to them, you're important to us. You are important to me. Hospitality and genuine love. So in these first verses, 9 through 13, too much to possibly cover in one sermon. Each verse could be, like we did in just these short points, could be an entire sermon in and of itself. But I say two ways that they do come together is that they are all continuing and they are all expressions of genuine love. Then the second section of this passage of Scripture in Romans chapter 12. If you will, read with me in verse 14. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, as far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. I read this story and it got me thinking, and I wanted to read it to you. A young police cadet was taking his final exam for the police academy, and he was confronted with this question. You are on patrol in the outer city when an explosion occurs in a gas main in a nearby street. On investigation, you find that a large hole has been blown in the footpath, and there is an overturned van nearby. Inside the van, there is a strong smell of alcohol. Both occupants, a man and a woman, are injured. You recognize the woman as the wife of the chief of police, who is at present away on a trip. A passing motorist stops to offer you assistance, and you realize that he is a man who is wanted for armed robbery. Suddenly, a man runs out of a nearby house, shouting that his wife is expecting a baby and that the shock of the explosion has made the birth imminent. Another man is crying for help, having been blown into the adjacent canal by the explosion, and he cannot swim. Describe in a few words what actions you would take. Young man thought for a moment. He picked up his pen, and he wrote, "I would take off my uniform and mingle with the crowd." Amusing story, you know. The fact that having the uniform on me would mean that he would be expected to act in a certain way. But he can take the uniform off and he no longer needs to act that way. If a police uniform makes a policeman distinctive, what is it that we put on that makes us distinctive? Well, it's some of these things we've already looked at. But it also applies to the things we're about to read or we've just read a moment ago. All of those in these closing verses, all the way through verse 21, this second section, all of them are talking about relationships. We need to take care of our relationships. While everything in the first passage, it's true that those also are marks of a Christian, one of the most important ways that you can represent Christ is by the way you treat other people. Both your friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, those outside of Christ, and even your enemies. And this passage of Scripture is dealing with all of them in just a few verses. And again, so much that it can hardly be covered in such a short time. Notice how Christ-like these recommendations are. Bless those who persecute you. That's very unhuman-like. The natural thing is to curse those who curse us. To give them back what they give to us. To don't take no guff from anybody. To react. But it says, bless those who persecute you and do not curse them. That's what Jesus did in his life. Rejoice with those who weep and weep with those who weep. To rejoice and to weep with others. What a beautiful characteristic that is. To come alongside people, to share what they're going through. That's what Jesus invited his disciples and apostles to do with him. They could watch the way that he related to other people, how consistent he was in all of those relationships. And as you read through the Gospels, you just fall in love with Christ. You think what a wonderful human being he was. It says, live in harmony with one another. Don't be haughty. Associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil. If anyone had a right to repay evil for evil, Jesus had that right. People were treating him badly. Who could have blamed him? He would have punished those who came against him. And yet he didn't. All of these characteristics that are enjoined on Christ. Jesus. He always did what was honorable in the sight of all. He sought to seek peace with all. He sometimes, that doesn't mean to not confront error and falsehood. Jesus did that, and that did get him into some trouble. As far as it was possible, he also lived peaceably with all. He never sought to avenge himself. This passage says, in fact, for us, we're not only to be like Jesus in that we don't seek vengeance against our enemies, but we are to leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. I tell you, you know, we serve a God who blesses those who hate him. I mean, is it amazing that this beautiful world that we live in, the sun comes up on the evil as it does on the godly, and that many blessings in this life are part of what people who don't deserve it receive regularly. Jesus, in all these recommendations, can be seen. He's like this. So we need to remember, we need to be like Christ. The scripture says in 1 John 2:6, whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. 1 Corinthians 11:1 says, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21 says, for to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example that you might follow in his steps. Ephesians 5, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, be imitators of God's beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. As Jesus was a sacrifice, a loving, fragrant sacrifice to God, and lived that kind of life, so we ought to, as living sacrifices, live and imitate him and walk in his footsteps. Remember that in your relationship, these things, like relating to people in these ways, in these few verses, that is your uniform. Don't take off your uniform. Respond with Christ-like attitudes. Become the person that reconciles and loves, who blesses even your enemy. Don't accept the way the world has taught us, or the encouragements of our own evil nature at times. But be like Christ. That is the invitation for you today. You are a living sacrifice. Have you lived like one? Have you taken off your uniform, or are you wearing it proudly? Are you imitating Christ, or are you not? If you need to respond to the gospel today because you need encouragement, we invite you to stand.
Who at the door is standing, patiently drawing near, entrance within. The voice.